An ancient Mayan calendar mysteriously ends at the winter solstice in the year 2012. Is this a sign that the Mayans knew that December 2012 is the end of human history? The History Channel, Newsweek magazine, major movie studios, booksellers, and dozens of websites are fanning the 2012 craze. Should you be building a shelter, stowing away food for the coming disasters? On Beyond Today, we're going to answer the question, is 2012 the end of the world?
Join our host Gary Petty and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
2012. Entire cities devastated by enormous tsunamis, earthquakes, and Category 5 hurricanes. Meteors rain down fiery death from heaven, and human history comes to a violent end. Other 2012 scenarios picture a wonderful change in human consciousness, ushering in the new age of Aquarius. John Major Jenkins, author of the popular Maya Cosmogenesis, describes the coming new age this way. Around the year we call 2012, a large chapter in human history will be coming to an end. All the values and assumptions of the previous world age will expire, and a new phase of human growth will commence. Now, this hype is based on a mixture of speculation about Mayan calendars, the book The Bible Code, some ancient Oriental prophecies, the writings of Nostradamus, and passages from the biblical book of Revelation. You know, while the special effects of a tsunami wiping out the Himalayas is visually spectacular, the real answers to the questions about the end of the world lie only in the true source of prophecy, your Bible. You're in for a few surprises today as we explore the final chapter of the book of Revelation. Although the last book of the Bible does contain descriptions of terrible future events, it is ultimately, and many people are surprised by this, a book about hope. Now, I know you can use some more hope in your life. You're worried about the mortgage, the kids, the job, and now all this hype. Is the end of the world just around the corner? Well, the book of Revelation shows us a couple of things. One, that there are reasons why your life is so hard. There are reasons why there is suffering. This is in the book of Revelation. And that there are keys to help you discover hope in your future. I guess there are two ways to look at the book of Revelation. It's like the twins, Bob and Tom. Tom was the eternal optimist, while Bob saw nothing but the bad in everything. One birthday, their dad decided to play a trick on the boys. He gave Bob a new bicycle. But all the pessimist could say was, it's the wrong color, who will fix it when it breaks down, and I'll probably get hurt trying to ride it. Now, Tom ran through the house trying to find his gift, only to end up staring at a pile of manure dumped in the backyard. Dad went outside and found Tom excitingly digging through the manure. What are you doing? He asked. Always seeing the good side, Tom answered, I know there's a pony under here somewhere. Now, you see, when we look at the book of Revelation, it's the same way. We can see all the negative parts of the book, or we can see the positive benefits that God has in store for humanity. You've heard that 2012 is the end of the world. Many 2012 scenarios predict the total destruction of humanity and leave you with no hope for personal future. Now, the book of Revelation is more than gloom and doom and predictions of the violent end of the world. Underneath all the graphic images of death and destruction is a message of hope for the future of humanity and for you personally. Now, this central theme of hope runs through the entire Bible and culminates in the book of Revelation. So, let's think about and look at a minute at the central biblical theme of hope. Now, what we're going to talk about is the theme that starts with Genesis and runs all the way through Revelation. This is the message that God has for you from His book, the Bible. First of all, you have a special purpose in life, and there are solutions to your problems. I mean, how many times have you heard me say this? You can keep applying the same old solutions to the same old problems, and guess what? You're going to keep arriving at the same old problems. Well, God has solutions to your problems. Secondly, God created you in His image, but His purpose is not being fulfilled in your life. That's why you have these troubles. You must come to believe that the creator of life knows how life works. 3, you can experience a relationship with God and fulfill your purpose in life. That's right now. Right now, today, tomorrow, God's purpose can be fulfilled in your life. 4, accept that you need to change and believe that change is possible through the plan of God being carried out through Jesus Christ. 5, the Bible is God's instruction book for his purpose in your life, even the book of Revelation. You know, it's just not a book filled with ancient stories. The Bible is relevant to your life. 6, Jesus Christ is coming to save the world, establish a new world order, if you will, a kingdom. And you need to be preparing for that day by becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ right now. You know, this new world order isn't going to be set up by a collection of people or bankers or a secret society. Jesus Christ is coming. The whole world will see him to establish the kingdom of God on this earth. And this kingdom will be based on God's universal values and laws that you can learn in your life right now. His government will create a new agricultural system, pollution-free manufacturing, a universal educational system, one world religion, and peace and prosperity. And then 7, your ultimate destiny. Now listen to this. This is very important. Your ultimate destiny. You were created to become a child of God. And you can have a child-father relationship with him, not just in the future, but right now. That's right, right now. You know, nothing can bring you more happiness, more hope, more love, more power. Nothing can bring that into your life more right now than living by this basic biblical theme and knowing your purpose and that you are a child of God. So what does the book of Revelation say about the end of the world and hope? What does it say about 2012? Now, before we answer that question, we're going to offer you a free booklet that will help you discover the true, fascinating message of Revelation. The book of Revelation Unveiled will help you sort out the story flow and strange images of this important prophecy. Finally, you will be able to read the book of Revelation and understand the meaning of the seven trumpets, the mystical beast, Armageddon, and the day of the Lord. Revelation is God's newscast of events before they happen. It is a book about your future and the hope of deliverance. Now, this booklet is absolutely free. We're not going to ask you for any money. Go online right now to beyondtoday.tv to read or order your free copy of The Book of Revelation Unveiled. Or, now write this number down, you can call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. Write down the number, 1-888-886-8632. Or go online to beyondtoday.tv. So what does the Book of Revelation say about the end of the world? You know, the book of Revelation was written towards the end of the first century by the Apostle John, the last of Jesus' original 12 disciples. It is a divinely inspired prophecy predominantly concerned with the events preceding the second coming of Jesus Christ. John's visions reveal that before Christ returns, humanity will suffer some terrible things. Humanity will suffer world war, disease, pandemics, religious strife, and famine on a global scale. You know, many of these happenings are trends that you and I see occurring in our world today. Watching your world teeter on economic chaos can leave you anxious. News of possible pandemics, the ongoing crisis between Israel and the Arab nations, racial tensions. Sometimes you may want to crawl in a hole and hide from all the bad news. Don't despair. Hope comes at the end of this book. In Revelation chapters 19 through 20, John gives us a description of the return of Jesus Christ. You know, many people actually believe that Jesus is returning to destroy the earth, but this isn't the scenario revealed by God to John. He writes that Jesus will establish God's kingdom on this earth for 1,000 years, bringing peace and prosperity. Jesus Christ is coming to save the world. It is the beginning of real human life and prosperity for humanity. It is a fantastic future waiting for you and for me beyond our wildest dreams. You know, what is your ultimate destiny? Well, if you don't have a Bible in front of you, go get one and follow along, because we're going to look at what God says is going to happen when Jesus Christ returns. And this is going to happen sometime in the near future. And let's go to Revelation chapter 20. So get your Bible and open to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 19 talks about the return of Jesus Christ and how he will come, and the nations will actually come together to fight against him. They will see Jesus as someone invading from outer space. Instead, here is the very Son of God coming to save humanity. Not destroy humanity, but to save humanity. So let's go to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 1. Pick it up. John writes, "And I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain was in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Two important points here. One, Jesus Christ is returning, and he is going to reign for 1,000 years. That's where we get the word millennium, means 1,000. But also Satan is going to be bound. You and I live in a world that isn't ours, and this is going to sound strange, but listen, it is not God's world. God created us, but there is another being that has been ruling this world for thousands of years. It is his influence that has brought about the suffering and the pain and the problems in your life, in my life, and in the life of everyone else. Satan is a real being. And when Jesus Christ comes back, he removes Satan from influencing the world. Instead of destroying the world, he's going to take the evil one out of this world. You and I live in a society where Satan's a myth. Many people don't even believe he really exists. He does. And Jesus Christ is coming back to remove his influence. We can't even imagine what it will be like not to have Satan's influence on our lives every day. You know, as rational beings, we like to think, no one influences me. No one somehow influences me to do evil. I make all my own choices. That's just not true. There is a being that deceives us. Notice what it says in verse 3. "And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while." He deceives all the nations. You are deceived. You want to hear that? But it's the truth. We have to take the blinders off. We have to understand our Creator and turn towards our Creator. And when we do, we begin to realize not only our purpose, but our future. 2012 extinction of humanity isn't the future. In fact, when Jesus Christ returns, he's going to set up a kingdom that's going to bring about something so amazing that you and I can't even understand it. He's going to bring about a new agricultural system. He's going to heal the environment. Now, we look at our environment today. We worry about the damage that's being done on the environment by human beings. Jesus Christ is going to return and heal the environment. There will be no more poverty. There will be no more suffering. There will be no more little children starving. Can you imagine that? You know, we are so frustrated today. You can't change all the terrible things that are happening around you. You can't save all the children that are sick. You can't sometimes even help one child. But Jesus Christ is going to come back and he's going to save all the children. He's going to set up an educational system for everyone. He's going to set up an economic system for everyone. But here's the one thing that's going to be hard for us. He's going to set up one world government. As I said before, not set up by some kind of secret society, but set up by the Son of God. And one world religion. There'll be no need for wars anymore. There'll be no governments to fight against each other. There'll be no religions to fight against each other. Islam, Hinduism, even all the various different groups of Christianity that war among themselves, they won't exist anymore. Jesus Christ will bring and set up the kingdom that teaches every human being his and her purpose as a child of God. Verse 4 says here in Revelation 20, "And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and who did not worship the beast." This is the terrible power that's going to exist at that time, called the beast, that's going to actually fight against Jesus Christ at his return, "or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. To reign with Jesus Christ means that you are a Christian, called now, responding now to his calling, and prepared to reign with him. To reign with Jesus Christ means to help him change the world, to make sure that never again a child suffers, to make sure there is no war, to help people come to their God. All human beings aren't going to be destroyed by a great fireball caused by an asteroid or atomic weapons. Humanity isn't going to face extinction in 2012. But sometime in the future, Jesus Christ will return to save humanity from destruction. You know, remember earlier I said that you were made in the image of God and that God has a purpose for your life? Well, you know, the hope is in the believing. The hope is in the doing. And the hope is in the living God's purpose in your life. You know, are you willing to give up your own ideas about how life works and turn to your Creator for the solutions? God wants more than a profession of faith from you. He wants you to become His child. He wants you to live by His standards, accept His values as the Creator of the universe, and serve with Jesus Christ at His return. In the next segment, our panel is going to explain what Revelation teaches about the end of the age and what it means to you in your daily life. So don't go away.
Are you prepared for the end of the world? Fantastic imagery and mysterious predictions fill the book of Revelation, leading many to connect it to visions of doomsday and the end of mankind. But what if we told you that this book is in fact the promise of a brand new world? The pages of the Bible's last book describe a coming world filled with promise, joy, and at long last peace. But they also warn us this change will not come easily, during a time described by Jesus Christ as the worst time of suffering the world will ever see. To more fully understand this great time of trouble, and most importantly, the world which will follow, request your free copy of The Book of Revelation Unveiled by calling 1-888-886-8632 or read it online at beyondtoday.tv. That's 1-888-886-8632 or beyondtoday.tv. Are you prepared for the end of today's world and what lies beyond?
While the news about the Middle East seems to get worse, you can get understanding of where it's going in your free subscription to the Good News magazine. See why Jerusalem will remain at the center of the news in articles that regularly keep you up to date in the direction of our world. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free subscription to the Good News magazine.
When you order your free copy of the Book of Revelation Unveiled, we will also send you a free subscription to our magazine, The Good News. This is a very important magazine that will help you in discovering your Creator's purpose for your life now, helping you and your family, helping you look forward to the future that He has for you. We've been talking about the future, the Book of Revelation, what it teaches about the end of the world. And we've been talking about the 2012 phenomena that's going on where people are interested in thinking that the end of the world is coming in 2012. What we've been able to see by looking at the Book of Revelation is that 2012 isn't the end of the world. Sometime in the future, we don't know exactly when, Jesus Christ is coming back, not to destroy the world, but to save it. We're joined by our Beyond Today hosts, Steve Myers and Darius McNeely. Guys, what is causing and driving people to get caught up in this 2012 frenzy?
Well, people have always been interested in prophecy or predictions about the end of the world, end of the age. You know, the Bible doesn't really talk about the end of the world. The Bible does talk about the end of the age, but not the end of the world.
Different thing. That's a totally different thing.
And it's an important distinction. But, you know, Gary, one of the things that I think people are caught up in today, in addition to anything regarding Bible prophecy, even from a secular point of view, a lot of people are worried about the ending of the world due to the climate changes. They come at it from an environmental perspective.
Global warming.
Global warming, yeah, and exactly. That man is destroying the environment, and that man will be the cause of causing, in a sense, the environment to turn on man and create this bleak, dark, cold world that that many have and is portrayed in even a lot of other popular movies about the end of the world. And so not only from a biblical perspective, but from an environmental, secular, even political perspective, there is this increased emphasis today that is causing people to have an even more interest and fascination with this subject. So this is a new twist on it, but it's always been a part of the human condition.
I think part of it has to do with just our entertainment world. Mm-hmm. You can't help but watch the movies that promote this kind of thinking. The end of the time, the end of the world, the end of the age, Armageddon, Terminator, you can go right down the list. Darius was talking about the ecologist, you have the day after. All of those kinds of things, get that on our minds. And when it's on our minds, you can't help but think, well, when will that actually happen? And in fact, when you look at all the things that are happening around us, look at what's happening in the economy, look at the world news, look at the difficulties around the world. I think people have a sense that we just can't continue to go on and on and on like this. So there logically has to be some point that it is over.
And there's an awful lot of anxiety because of
this. It creates a great deal of fear. I see it in children who are inundated, especially from the ecological perspective, and the global warming ideas. And they are taught a certain fear that man is going to destroy the environment and the world as a result of that. Mm-hmm. And a panic sets in.
Yeah, even commercials promote that type of thinking. Oh, yeah. Well, the kids get on the TV and they say, well, I'm not going to have a world when I grow up.
Right.
And so that fear is certainly a part of it.
You know, and one of the ways I deal with that anxiety, and when I look at the world around me, it is easy to get anxious over it, is because I look at the book of Revelation and it really gives us a different picture. It paints a different picture than what we're seeing in this 2012 frenzy.
Oh, a much different picture. Most people have a misconception about the book of Revelation and really the message that is there. It is called sometimes the apocalypse, and using that term puts it into a very dark, dreary, age-shattering perspective for people in their minds. But the book of Revelation actually is one of the most hope-filled books in the Bible. I dare say that a lot of our audience goes to some of these movies like 2012, The End of the World, or other The End of the World, whatever the movie titles are that are out there, and they walk away with a hopeless feeling.
Yeah.
You read the book of Revelation, you don't walk away with a hopeless feeling. Read that book properly, and you have a message that gives you understanding and shows that the age and the world is not going to come to an end. Humankind does have a future, as you showed in your exposition there of Revelation chapter 20. There is a future beyond whatever man can do or will do, and that there is hope for the human race. But it is a hope of a whole different nature than what most people realize, and far better than anything that can be portrayed in any of these epics.
Yeah, I think that it just shows you the very opposite from God's perspective. When you turn to the book itself and read what's there, sure, there's difficult times ahead when man does what man will do.
Yeah.
And as he does his way, instead of turning things over to God, there is going to be a mess. And yet, God sees past that, and he sees the hope, the optimism. That's what the reality is. It's not just the doom and gloom that the movies would leave you with.
Yes. Well, the reason why is God's coming back to fix it.
Right, right.
He's going to change it. We won't be able to change this. We can't fix this ourselves. That's hard for us to accept. You know, in our humanistic society, we believe that human beings can fix anything. We can't fix this. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ is coming back. Fix it.
That's the point that you want to focus on. Part of the book of Revelation is a section that focuses on four horsemen, the so-called four horsemen of the apocalypse.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
War, false religion, disease, and famine. But what most people don't understand is there's a fifth horseman in the book of Revelation. And that fifth horseman is Jesus Christ, portrayed in chapter 19, coming in riding on a literal white horse in that sense, as it shows there. But Christ is a fifth horseman that rescues man at the very close of the age and prevents those cataclysmic events from erasing all human life from off the face of the earth. That's the ultimate horseman and the ultimate point of the message.
Yeah, the message of hope is in the Bible. And so if people would turn to their Bible, read what it actually says, read the truth. Go to the absolute truth of your Bible. See what God says about what's going to happen in the future. And you will see the hope. You will see the ultimate solution, that it's not in some government or some president or some dictator's hands to determine the outcome of the world. It's in the hands of God. And we need to have that right relationship with God so we can be right with Him.
Well, you know, these movies can be fun. The problem is we live in a society where people are becoming divorced from the Bible. They don't know what the truth is. So these movies become a reality to all too many people. Now, we know this truth then. We know that Christ is coming back. What should that, or how should that motivate us now? Because I know it motivates me. Every day I get up, I can know what's coming. No matter how bad this world gets, and it's going to get real bad before it comes back, we can be motivated towards that future event. So how does that motivate us, that knowledge, that understanding?
I think it begins by a person just beginning to look through this book of Revelation and start in the first chapter. And if you go no further, just start in that first chapter and begin to get a picture of Jesus Christ, the author of the book, and begin to understand that that book actually comes from Him. Mm-hmm. It's His revelation. It is a message of hope and encouragement. And begin to focus on that as the reality, far greater than anything that can be portrayed to us cinematically in our age. Focus on the reality of Christ and to begin to develop a relation with Him.
Or the Mayan calendar or Nostradamus.
Yeah, this. Exactly. Revelation is a revealing. God wants a relationship with you. And so we've got to be submissive and develop that relationship with God, and it'll change our whole future.
Get on your knees. Go before your Creator and say, show me the purpose that you have for me and show me the future. We'll be back right after this.
Fantastic and mysterious predictions fill the book of Revelation. Does this book proclaim the end of mankind? You may be shocked to learn that it actually reveals a coming world filled with promise, joy, and peace. To better understand the amazing events disclosed in Revelation and what they mean for you, request your free copy of The Book of Revelation Unveiled by calling 1-888-886-8632 or read it online at beyondtoday.tv.
Here's the good news. Humanity won't be destroyed in 2012. The New Age scenario isn't going to happen either. There isn't going to be a universal consciousness that brings all humanity into peace and harmony. Through the advanced newscast of the book of Revelation, God reveals to us that there are some very bad times ahead. But this book also tells us that there is coming a unique and total change of society. Jesus Christ is returning, not as a baby in a barn, but as Lord of lords and King of kings to establish God's kingdom on the earth. Christians live in anticipation of that day, because it is the foundation of our hope. For Beyond Today, I'm Gary Petty, and thanks for watching.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.